All right, guys, we're continuing our Halacha Smackdown. The goal of Halacha Smackdown, again, is to take some random and off-the-beat topics, but the main purpose is not even the topics. It's to cover a lot within that amount of time that we're learning those topics. So today what I wanted to cover is the Halachas of microwave. The reason is I feel like there's a lot of mistakes people make with microwaves. I will say the following. I am going to guess that 98% of microwaves... I made up a stat, but it's a good guess. That 98% of microwaves that people use are TRAFE microwaves.
Yes.
Mamish Alter agrees. Yes. TRAFE microwaves all over the place. Our spaces, our homes, our offices are infested with TRAFE microwaves. So let's talk about... What's that? Let's talk about the idea of a microwave and how you keep it kosher and how you can heat up things when you're on vacation or wherever you are. You want to be able to use a microwave. So this is a summary of what you need to know. First of all, you need to know the difference between a microwave and an oven. Okay? Right away when I walked in with these sheets, Ram said, wait a second, it's the same thing as an oven, isn't it? The answer is no. The oven, and here's the major difference between the two. The oven uses heat to heat up your food. The walls begin to reach a certain temperature depending on what you set it at. If, let's say, your oven was just starting to heat up, and I don't recommend this, but if you put your hand against the front of the oven or the stove, you could feel the heat building. Right? Because the walls of the oven heat up. When it comes to a microwave, the microwave do not heat the walls of the cooking area, but rather it works through microwaves that work to heat the food. So it's the food that becomes hot internally, not the walls of the microwave. If the walls of the microwave feel hot for any moment, it's only incidental to what you're feeling from the food itself. And then the totally opposite. An oven and a microwave work in totally opposite ways. So what's the difference in terms of halacha? When it comes to the oven, there's actually very little steam. If you notice, if you open up an oven, and all of a sudden when you open it up, there's not going to be all this steam that comes out. But when it comes to a microwave, suddenly 1 minute in a microwave, 2 minutes in a microwave, you open it up, and suddenly all this steam will hit you from the microwave. And that's because it's working on condensation within the food, heating the food, creating this effect of a hot box effect, creating this steam to come out. So what's the difference? Who cares? Yes, Rick.
But it's smaller. That's why it's got to use steam. The oven's bigger.
Oven has more space. That's also another reason why there is less steam. Excellent. But this is the major difference halachically. Going back to an oven, the reason why you can't cook milk and meat in the same oven at the same time. Let's take the same time. Let's keep it easy for people who have one oven and whatnot at home. You have one oven, you want to cook milk and meat at the same time in one oven. That problem is different than microwave. The problem there is not a steam problem, because we said there's not that much steam there. But rather, the problem there is number two. You see a number two? Number two is what you call the machlokus of recha milsa or recha lav milsa. Somebody tell me what is... Oh, Mermelstein is back. Somebody tell me what is recha. What does recha mean? Alter.
Recha.
What's recha mean?
Like
I have a rule, by the way. In terms of Torah knowledge, imagine in your head that you know everything. When you go in assuming that you know everything, you'll figure out that word. Everyone look at the word for a second. There's no reason that the majority of this room should not know the word. Look at the word, slow and look at the word, recha.
Spirit.
What's a recha?
Smell.
A schmeck, a smell. Thank Breuers, guys, Breuers. Recha is a smell, right? Reach, it's a smell. You look at the word, just look at the words inside and you realize you're familiar with it. Reach is a smell. So recha milsa. The reason why you can't cook meat and milk at the oven at the same time is because the stink from one food goes into the stink of the other food and they mix together, and that's milk and meat. You could smell it. If you would put a chicken dish in the same time as a cheese's oven, you pull out the chicken, you would smell a schmeck of cheese inside your food. That's called recha milsa. By an oven, that is the significant problem. Yes?
But it's smell, it's not...
The Gemara has a machlokus of whether recha milsa or recha lav milsa. We're machmer to assume that smell is enough of a hana, a forbidden hana. By basar b'cholov, you're not allowed to get hana. You're not allowed to get benefit. It's already enough mixed in there in terms of hana that you're not allowed to get benefit from it, and that's why we don't use the oven concurrently for milk and meat. But let's go to the microwave. By microwave, we're not dealing with recha. We're not putting something in two things in at the same time. There's not that much space. We're dealing with a separate issue entirely. Somebody tell me what that issue is called in Hebrew. What's that other issue? It's not Recha. What is it? Oh! Zeya! Where'd you get that from? It's on the sheet. It says it right there. Zeya. It's on the sheet. What does Zeya mean? Somebody tell me what Zeya... Remember, look at the word inside and imagine to yourself that you've been learning for 8 years. And then look up at me and tell me what the word Zeya is. This is harder than Recha. Recha you should know. Zeya might be a word that you're not familiar with. Zeya is steam. Zeya is sweat, literally. By the way, you have Zeya, you have sweat. The Shulchan Aruch talks about what if you wipe your sweat, do you need to wash your hands before davening or whatever. You have Zeya. Zeya is steam, right? Zeya is the steam. So it's interesting, the Gemara never really talks about this concept of Zeya. Could be because they didn't really need to, because there they were dealing with an oven, which was a Recha issue, which is clear and a big problem. But Zeya, the Gemara didn't really talk about. There's a Mishnah in Megvos where we learn the concept of Zeya from. And the Rishonim discussed the problem of Zeya, of steam. Now here is the issue of Zeya. Here's the issue of steam. The way it works is as follows. Steam goes up. Let's say you put in there your chicken pot pie. I don't like that very much. But you put in a chicken pot pie. And all of a sudden you're cooking it, and all of a sudden, as the tadik is heating up, the steam goes through the top of the microwave. What it does, and the top wall of the microwave, is it creates a blia. When you're learning the laws of kashrus and cooking, the most important word to know is the word blia. Here's the definition of the word blia. Put it on the sheet. Here's the word blia. Beis lamed yud ayin hey. Or for the Yavna students, bet, lamed, yud, ayin, hey. Now, a blia, here we go. What a blia is, it translates as the word infusion, a blia. So here's what a blia is. If I put a super hot pot down on the counter, it causes an infusion of that element into the counter itself. Most counters at some micro level are porous, they have holes, and therefore the taste transfers into that countertop. That's why you should not put down things directly onto the counter unless you know that's your milchik side or your fleishik side. Okay, it causes a blia, an infusion. A blia. It's why you can't use your pots and pans during the year on Pesach, even though you know you cleaned them so well. You scraped every crumb off. Yes, you might be getting the stuff you see, but underneath the surface is a blia. So the steam in the microwave of your tadig beef, it goes up, right? And all of a sudden, the top of the microwave is piping hot from the steam that went up there, and the top of the microwave now has a blia of the meat on top of it. All of a sudden, next time you put something in, you're going to put in your... Give me a good cheese, like a...
Lasagna.
Lasagna. You put in a lasagna. What do you like, Ram? You like something else? What do you like?
Popcorn.
Popcorn. Cheesy popcorn. Fine. Let's say you put in a cheesy popcorn in there. The steam goes up from the cheesy popcorn at the top of the microwave, thus condensing on the roof of the microwave, mixing blias together, and steam travels both ways when you're cooking, and therefore that goes back into your dish. That's called Zeya Ba'alma, general Zeya. That's a problem. And that's why microwaves are very often treif. In many people's homes, microwaves are treif. The reason I feel comfortable coming in saying that, when it's going to ruin a lot of people's microwaves, I just walked in here and said treif, is because the way to fix it is very easy. The way to fix it, if you're somewhere on vacation, you're in a hotel, or whatever it is, you're in a workplace, you're interning for the summer somewhere, and they got a microwave there, and someone just walked out and they finished making their chazer dish, right? They just walked out, whatever, the sultani equivalent of a chazer sultani, yes?
A cup of water?
So that's how you kosher.
A glass.
That's how you get a kosher. I'm not even getting to kosher. I'm getting so much easier than kosher.
Why don't you just put like a napkin on top of it?
Oh, that's why I'm saying it so comfortably, because the way to fix the problem is so easy. Here it is. There's now a machlokas Rav Belsky versus Rav Schechter. Rav Belsky and Rav Schechter were both the poskim for the Orthodox Union, for the OU. All major kashrus shilas came through them. Rav Belsky's no longer alive. Rav Schechter should live for many more years. Now, Rav Belsky said you need to cover it with a double covering. Cover it with a double covering. Meaning, if someone just put an open cheese dish inside there, now you want to reheat some meat, what you got to do is cover it, double covering. This way you ensure that whatever minimal steam, you're not going to leave it totally covered because the microwave needs some space or else it'll blow. But you're going to leave a little exposed, and whatever little steam comes, we're not worried the steam's going to come to the side and then come back or loop in and tuck itself in. It's such a minimal amount. So just double cover it. That means it's covered well. Double cover it. Put it inside your microwave. Never put foil in the microwave. Put it in. Rav Schechter thought when it comes to this whole steam fear, we could be even more lenient. Because how much is really getting up there? How much is really going to mix together at that point? How much is really going to climb back in? Rav Schechter felt, don't use a napkin, because a napkin is very porous. The minute it's wet, you'll notice it's already, you can touch from one side to the other. Use maybe a plate, a paper plate, slap it on top of your chicken, on top of your fricassee, whatever you have in there, and you're good to go. That is enough for the microwave itself, and you should be fine in any circumstance, in any scenario. You're working somewhere for the summer, you're in someone else's home, you're at a hotel, just keep a bunch of paper plates around, slap the paper plate on top, it does not need to be rock solid closed, and you're going to be good. Yes, what'd you want to ask?